Please find 2 Kings chapter 4, and tonight we're looking at verses 1 through 7. And I have another message for you in the series that has occupied us on our Sunday nights this summer. This series has the title, The Story Behind the Stories. And I have been telling you that all of the Old Testament stories have a common denominator, and they all point us in some form or fashion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my, how our hearts ought to rejoice. I hope and pray that you can identify with that song that we sing here from time to time, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." Now, I have to tell you that I'm concerned about many who attend our services today. I'm not talking about Parkview in particular. I'm talking about churches in general. I might add that I'm also concerned about people who don't attend services, but I am concerned about those who do come to services and never seem to give any indication of being thrilled by their Christianity. I want to tell you that God designed this business of Christianity to thrill our hearts. And, of course, whenever you talk about Christianity, you're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's often been said Christianity is Christ. That's true, isn't it? And so when I say that we should be thrilled by our Christianity, I'm saying that we should be, as that song says, we should be thrilled by Christ, and this should be our testimony. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Now, when you're reading from the Old Testament, you should always be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you find the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, your heart ought to leap within you. You ought to say a hallelujah and an amen and a glory to God. And I just trust that that will be helpful to you as a rule of thumb when you're reading from your Old Testament. Always look for Jesus. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, do you think that that is the proper way to proceed with the Old Testament? And I just call to your mind again what I have mentioned so often here, and that is when the Lord Jesus walked with his two disciples from Jerusalem to Emmaus on the day of the resurrection, he opened to them the scriptures and he explained to them the things concerning himself. And later in that same 24th chapter of Luke's gospel, you find that the Lord Jesus affirmed that he is to be found in the books of Moses, he is to be found in the books of the prophets, and he is to be found in what we call the wisdom literature, the Psalms and Proverbs, and all of the scriptures, all of the Old Testament scriptures, have their focus in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read there in Luke chapter 24 that as Jesus talked to those two disciples who journeyed with him from Jerusalem to Emmaus, that their hearts burned within them as he opened the scriptures to them. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's nothing more necessary for us today than to have burning hearts. And surely this is part of having the burning heart, is to find the Lord Jesus in our Old Testament scriptures. Now, we have here tonight in 2 Kings chapter 4 a story that I like very much, and I trust that it's one with which you are familiar, and I trust that we can find the Lord Jesus as we look here tonight at this passage of Scripture. Here we have the story of a poor widow, a poor widow. My, my, what terrible, terrible condition she was in. And here also we have the story of the prophet Elisha. Now, if you find yourself in trouble tonight, if you find dark and evil circumstances mounting up around you, you might want to pay careful attention to this message tonight, because I think that here in this account, the account of this poor widow and what Elisha did for her, we can find help for ourselves. Aren't you thrilled that the Bible is a living book? It's not just ancient history. This book speaks today, and this passage will speak to us, I trust, about difficult circumstances in which we find ourselves. And let me read the passage of Scripture now, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 7, 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 7. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then Elisha said, "Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Now, this lady appears very briefly on the pages of Scripture. She's found only here, so far as we know, and she's left in anonymity. She's not named here. And yet, we find her here on the pages of Scripture, brothers and sisters in Christ, because she has a very valuable lesson to us, to teach us. And that lesson is this, that the Word of God abounds in those who put their faith in it. I can be more specific. I can tell you that the comfort of God's Word abounds in the hearts of those who put their faith in it. And so she leaves us with a very wonderful lesson indeed, even though she appears here very briefly in Scripture. Now, I want to divide the sermon for you tonight into three parts. I want you to think with me, first of all, about the surpassing demands that this lady faced. The surpassing demands. And then I want you to think, secondly, about her meager resources. And then, finally, her wise strategy. And so those are the three points of the sermon: the surpassing demands, the meager resources, and the wise strategy. And if you're sitting here tonight and you feel that you have surpassing demands on you, if you feel that you just have demands that are pressing upon you that you cannot possibly meet, and you feel that your strength is just used up, and you don't have anywhere near the strength that you need to meet the demands that are coming your way, I want to just urge you to utilize the wise strategy that this woman put in place. And you may be saying, "Well, what is that wise strategy?" Well, I don't want to tell you now. I want you to listen, okay? So we'll get to that wise strategy here in just a few moments. And we will, as I already said, try to find the Lord Jesus here in this passage of Scripture. But think with me, first of all, now, about the surpassing demands on this lady. My, what a terrible, terrible shape she was in. We read here that she had been married to a prophet of the Lord and a servant of the Lord, and that he had died evidently at a young age, because he not only left her, but he left two young sons. And so now, here she is, with these two sons, and we read that she also was left by her husband a very large debt. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you and I oftentimes find ourselves perplexed by what we have described here in this passage of Scripture. Here is someone who had tried to serve the Lord. Here's someone who had loved the Lord. Here's someone who had been faithful to the Lord. And here's someone who had very serious problems. Now, have you ever scratched your head over what we have put in place here? Do you know of situations very similar to what we have described here in 2 Kings chapter 4? Do you know of someone who has been faithful to the Lord and someone who has tried to serve the Lord? And all that person seems to have to show for a life of faithfulness and service is difficult circumstances. And that's what we find here. Now, there are some people who tell us that Christians should never have any trouble. They tell us that if we as Christians have difficult circumstances, we've got no one to blame but ourselves. They tell us that if we Christians have difficulties, it's simply because we have not had enough faith. And if we simply had more faith, our circumstances would change, our difficulties would vanish, and everything would be well with us. I have told you before, I think, about a sister in Christ in one of the churches I served several years ago. It was the church in St. Louis, Missouri. And we had a couple there named George and Sally Coleman. And Sally was diagnosed with a very serious illness while I was her pastor. And she one day came to me just brokenhearted, not because she had been diagnosed with this serious illness, but rather because some of her Christian friends had told her that if she had enough faith, she wouldn't be suffering in this way. If she had enough faith, she could be healed just like that. And so now she not only had the burden of the illness, but she had on top of it this burden that her faith was not great enough. Her faith was not what it should have been. And so she was very troubled indeed. And I very well remember her just sobbing and sobbing as she told me her situation. Well, many have done great harm to the people of God by suggesting that the people of God should never have any difficulties, should never have any trials. I just cite this passage of Scripture here as evidence for what I'm about to say, that Christian people can be living close to the Lord and still have serious challenges and still have serious problems. Now, here's a woman, and by the way, there's not here in this passage of Scripture, there's not one word of rebuke about this woman. There's not one flaw found. No one is perfect. We know that this woman wasn't perfect. We know that her husband wasn't perfect. But there's no word of rebuke here for her husband. There's no word of rebuke here for her. We're not told in this passage of Scripture that this woman was in this terrible condition because of some sin that she had committed or because of some sin that her husband, her deceased husband, had committed. Her husband, so far as we can tell, had faithfully served the Lord, and his wife had faithfully served the Lord right along with him. We'd like to believe that serving the Lord makes us exempt from the problems of life, but it did not make this woman exempt. And I want to assure you that you can live close to the Lord and still not be exempt from the problems of life. And so here is her situation then. She has lost her husband, she has her sons, and she has this huge, huge debt. And now the creditor, the man to whom she owes this money, has told her that he's going to take her two sons as payment for the debt. Can you just imagine the heartbreak and the anguish that this woman was going through? And we come now to her meager resources. She's got this debt she cannot pay, and all she has is just this jar of oil. This jar of oil. It's a little jar. And can you imagine the creditor now coming to her house? And he knocks on the door, and she opens the door. And can you imagine him saying, "I've come to collect payment on this debt that you owe"? And she extends her hand, and in her hand she has that little jar of oil. And she says to him, "Would you accept this as payment for my debt?" Well, you know what he would have done. By the way, I judge this creditor to be something of a human iceberg. I think he was without compassion and without sympathy. But you know what he would have done if she had offered that little jar of oil as payment for the debt? he would have laughed. He would have laughed in her face. He would have said, "You must take me for a fool. You owe this tremendous debt, and your jar of oil doesn't come anywhere near paying the debt." We might put it like this. We might say that this jar of oil didn't amount to any more in her debt than a penny would amount to a $1,000 debt. If you owed somebody $1,000 and you offered that person a penny and said, "Would you accept this penny as payment for my debt?" That person would laugh at you. That person would say, "You're a little bit short." That person would say, "No, by no means will I accept your penny as payment for your $1,000 debt." I'm just trying to convey to you the situation that this woman was in, and I'm trying to convey to you just how very great was the demands being placed on her and how very meager were her resources. Now, I've already tried to relate this situation to us, and it may be that you're relating it to yourself right now. You may be sitting here conscious of great, great problems, conscious of great demands, and conscious also that you just don't have the strength to face these demands. There are so many troubled people in our churches today. Some are troubled by the very thing that we're talking about from this passage of Scripture. They're troubled because they have financial hardship that is just impossible to bear. And some are troubled because they have children that just break their hearts. And on we could go. Some are in trouble because they either have sickness themselves or they have someone in the family who is seriously ill. And here we have a perfect picture in this woman of what so many people are facing themselves. So many people in our churches, there are great demands. And how many people feel in our churches as they face these great demands that they have absolutely no strength whatsoever? I've had people say to me over the years, "Pastor, here I am facing this situation. I've just mentioned some possibilities. Take the situation of serious illness." I've had people say, "Pastor, I'm facing this serious illness, and I just feel like I don't have the strength. I don't have the strength." More likely, it's, "I've got this person in my family who is facing serious illness, and I don't know that I have the strength to bear it." Well, I hope that you can find in this woman some help if you're sitting here tonight in a situation such as what she was in, surpassing demands and meager resources. Now, that brings me, I think, to the part of the message that you're most interested in, and that is her wise strategy. Her wise strategy. This woman, given her great debt and given her little measly jar of oil, did a very wise thing. What was the wise thing that she did? Well, look there at your first verse of chapter 4. And you read, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha." And there's the wise thing that she did. She cried out to Elisha. And so she went to the prophet of the Lord. And Elisha had exactly the word for her need. He had exactly what she needed. And here was Elisha's word. He said, "What do you have in your house?" And she said, "All I've got is just this measly little jar of oil." And so Elisha said, "Go out and borrow all the vessels that you can. Don't borrow just a few. Borrow as many vessels as you can. Empty vessels." Now, hang on to something. Elisha said, "And when you've gathered all the empty vessels that you can, close the door behind you and take that little jar of oil and begin filling those vessels. And so this is what she and her sons did. They went out and they borrowed as many empty vessels as they could. And when they had gathered every empty vessel that they could find, they closed the door of their little hut and they took their little jar of oil and they began to fill. Can you imagine this? Here's this little tiny jar of oil. And now the first vessel they've got is a gallon water jug. And that woman may have said in a moment of doubt, she may have said, "I don't think this is going to work." But she begins to pour out of her little jar of oil, and that oil begins to rise up in that gallon jug and rise up. And now that gallon jug is filled, and she's still got her little jar of oil. And that works so well. She says to one of her sons, "Bring me that 5-gallon bucket." And now she begins to pour out of that little jar of oil, and that oil begins to rise in that bucket until the whole bucket is filled. And why, she probably said, "Bring me that 50-gallon drum." And so it went. And she poured oil, and she poured oil, and she poured oil. And finally, when all the vessels were filled, she told Elisha what had happened. By the way, Elisha was not the slightest bit surprised. This is exactly what he expected to happen. And he said, "Now you've got enough oil. God has multiplied your oil, and now you've got enough oil to sell, and you can use the money that you make from the sale of the oil to pay off your creditor." And it may be that some of you are saying, "Well, what's my jar of oil in my situation? What's my jar of oil?" Well, I was talking with my class this morning about the importance we're talking about the miracles of Jesus and the importance of not focusing on the miracles, but in focusing on the Jesus of the miracles. And I think this same principle applies when we come to this passage of Scripture. I think that the thing we must do is not focus so much on the jar of oil, but focus rather on the prophet Elisha. And ladies and gentlemen, here's what this passage has to say to us. We have... Some of you may be saying, I wish I had a prophet Elisha around to help me with my surpassing demands. May I simply say to you, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, that you have a prophet Elisha tonight? You may be saying, "Where is he? Where is my prophet Elisha? Here I've got all these surpassing demands. I've got the creditor beating on my door. My circumstances are so harsh and demanding. Where's my prophet Elisha?" Listen, the thing that you must keep in mind about the prophet Elisha is this. He was one in whom the word of God resided. And while you don't have a flesh and blood prophet Elisha tonight, you do have the word of God. The word of God. And this word is sufficient for you in every situation that you face. But may I simply tell you, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, that this word will only abound in your life to the degree that you put your faith and trust in it. It will only abound in your life to the degree that you put your faith and trust in it. Thank you, Kenny. I appreciate that. And so, here's your prophet Elisha. It's the word of God, and it will abound in your life. Now, what is it you're facing tonight? It may be that you're facing sickness. Well, this word of God has a word for you. If you're sick, it tells you that your Lord is sufficient for you in every situation of life. But the problem, ladies and gentlemen, the problem, brothers and sisters in Christ, is this. So many of us want the Word of God to abound in our lives without us trusting the Word of God. Now, this woman was asked by Elisha to do something that seemed to be utterly ridiculous. Can you imagine for a moment this woman going around to her neighbors? Think about this for a moment while I drink this good water that Kenny brought me. Here she comes now, and she says to her next-door neighbor, do you happen to have any empty vessels? And the neighbor lady says, well, why do you ask? And she says, I've got a little jar of oil in my house, and I'm going to take any empty vessels that you might have, and I'm going to fill all those empty vessels from my little jar of oil. The Word of God, you see, ask her to do something that seemed to be totally ludicrous, something that seemed to be totally absurd. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a time in which the Word of God places demands on us, and most people here in Jackson, Tennessee, are ready to tell you that the things that are taught in the Bible are absolutely ludicrous, they are absurd, and you are a fool to believe those things. But I'm telling you that you must follow the example of this widow woman, and you must believe the Word of God even when it seems absurd to do so. Even when the Word of God seems ridiculous, you must believe the Word of God. And now she goes, she's got the empty vessels from the next door neighbor, and now she goes across the street and she says, do you have any empty vessels? And the lady over there says, well, what are you going to do with my empty vessels? Well, I've got this little jar of oil here, and I'm going to pour oil out of that little jar, and I'm going to fill from that little jar any empty vessels that you can provide me. You see, the Word of God placed a demand on her that seemed to be so utterly foolish. Well, this then I would suggest to you is the application of this passage of Scripture for those of us who are Christians. The application is this: believe the Word of God and obey it even when it seems crazy to do so. And may I say to you, you have a resource in the Word of God for whatever it is that you're facing in your life. But I want now to, in closing, just deal with this thing that I talked about at the beginning. I have shared with you these Old Testament stories with the purpose of finding the Lord Jesus in each story. Now let me relate this to the Lord Jesus. It may be that there's someone here tonight who is not a believer in Jesus Christ. May I simply say to you, you may not realize this, unbelieving friend, but you are facing a demand for which you have no resource. You are facing an appointment with God, who is the judge of all the earth. That's a great demand, and you don't even have a little jar of oil. You have no resource at all for this appointment that you've got with the judge of all the earth. But this Word of God tells you that there is one who does have everything that you need to stand before God, the righteous judge. There's one, that is Jesus. This Jesus, God demands perfect righteousness of you in order for you to stand acceptably in His presence. And this Jesus has the perfect righteousness that you need. And you may be saying, I don't have any righteousness at all. I hope that you are saying that. You may be saying, all I have is my sin. The good news of Jesus is this: He's got the righteousness that you do not have. And He went to the cross of Calvary to pay for the sins that you do have. And here is Christianity in a nutshell. The Lord Jesus Christ gets my sin, and I get his righteousness. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, Paul says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so, unbelieving friend, I tell you that there is a meeting, an appointment you have with this, the God of the universe. You have no resource for that appointment yourself. But the Lord Jesus has everything you need. And so I urge you, if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And God's people said, let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for this time around your word. And Father, we who have come to faith in Christ bless you and praise you tonight for the Lord Jesus. And we bless you, Father, that he is our sufficient resource for the day of judgment. And Father, we pray for that person in our midst who has never come to faith in Christ. We pray, Lord, that this might be the very time when that person will receive Jesus, precious to his soul. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.